Yeah. Tomorrow belongs to those who hear it coming. Brother Thomas, I think you've outdone yourself there.
Well, thank you. Greetings, Earthling subterranean operatives in the angelic high command.
I like the lyrics. Standing by, awaiting orders. Standing by, hear it coming. Standing by, awaiting orders. Standing by. Hey, you better run for the rock. Babylon is falling. It's never going to stop. But my word is drumming.
Drumming.
Tomorrow belongs to those who are coming. Now, drumming. What?
A nod to you.
Ah, cool. Like bongo playing. I can still play the bongos. They haven't heard me in quite a while, but.
Oh, you're a good drummer.
I'm not done yet. No, I like drums.
I wrote that song when I was 15 or 16, 1977. Never recorded it.
Yeah.
Reapproached it in about 1983. And then just a few weeks ago, just rushed in and kind of banged it out and, pretty much all the same intact verses, except my word is drumming, and the drumming reference I tossed in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new thing. But yeah, new world premiere song for the time.
Hear It Coming, debuted here worldwide on the Zeph Report. And the Zeph Report's been very low-keyed. I've done no promotion. It's been very much word of mouth. You know, it does grow. I do meet new people pretty much every week. Someone will drop me a line here or MySpace or, you know, I left Facebook because I just thought it was satanic, so I left.
Yeah.
I didn't like the picture of all those connections. And I had,
about that. It's creepy. I haven't done it.
I had a bunch of Christians on. That gave me the creep, so I had to leave. You know? Because there's a difference between, say, Christian, in a sense, you know, Christian and, say, a follower of the way or a follower of Yeshua or a follower of, you know, the truth, and Christian don't seem to be in the same context. In other words, I have more in common with, say, a truth seeker exposing, you know, government corruption. I'd have more in common with him than a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, like a Christian who goes to church, I would have less in common with him than I would someone who's just, say, on 9/11 truth. Or bird flu, weaponized flu truth, or whatever truth it is. A person on the path of any kind of truth is on my path. That's my path.
Yes.
You know, so got a lot of bros and sisters. They may not know exactly what path they're on yet, because we're all at different levels of awakening. I'm here to gently kind of bring them into the fold and tell them that, you know, if you're on the path of truth, the world's not going to love you anyway. So come on over to He Who Loved You First, Yahweh Elohim, Jah, Jehovah, the Lord Jesus. Come on. Let's go.
And it's important on that path, if you're a truth seeker, to be able to shed mistakes, misconceptions you have, because you get a understanding and you go with it for a while, and where most Christians and a lot of people get stymied is, they believe they've arrived, and then it becomes dogma in their minds, and they crystallize maybe one mystical experience, and then they turn everything off. And,
yeah,
and that just makes you susceptible to being manipulated. Well, and you've got to be bold about dropping ideas you thought you had figured out. And when spirit comes and says, you know what, this was wrong, you got to keep moving. That's the path. The path is to keep shedding.
I started referring to rock stars today as like the late Roger Daltrey, the late Bob Dylan. And I know they're still. And I don't want to refer to brothers and sisters as the late anything. And if you guys want to wake up, what you have to do is wake up. Wake up and, you know, listen. Life is a mystical experience. Life is a multidimensional, mystical unfolding of your inner life. The Bible is actually just tracking. The apocalypse has more to do with what's inside of you than it does with the external events in the world. I hope people
in
that the book of Revelation and all of it is basically the entire Bible is an unfolding and an eventual escape, or not escape, but birth from this world into what's called a new heaven and new earth, or the new Jerusalem, which is really your becoming a spirit. A physical, an incorruptible physical spiritual being that is wed, that is the wedding feast, which is the wedding of the spirit and flesh by God, which is something that has not been done with any other being, really. The wedding of the spirit and flesh, or the consummation of the wedding feast, which means that you're in him and he is in you, which means though you may be physical, you're eternal and expansive, meaning that there's a mystery to this unfolding that is within. And many other traditions talk about it, but not with the kind of clarity the Bible does when it's applied to the inner spiritual life, and that all the stories are really just, you know, signposts of growth as you change. And so every day, Brother Thomas, is an unfolding. Every day is a mystery. Every day is God is going to do something, and you want to be attentive to what it is. And like you say, dogma would be the death of that, or the end of that.
Yeah, the minute you crystallize it, and especially Christians get hung up, and this has been deliberate, on language and words. So, for instance, yeah, if you say, I consider myself a Christian mystic, but right there, that triggers all kinds of programming, unfortunately, in well-meaning Christians that have been trained that if you just say the word mystic, no, or if they you're will mystic, equals instantly mystery religion, new age, you know, occult.
No, I have nothing, but people that think like that, like I say, I don't have much in common with them. So it's anymore. The ones listening are really more people of the same spirit you would have. Do you see what I mean? That's why they're tuning in. They want that living, they want the living, they want, you know, life, the bread of life, which
the
is,
living spirit.
Yeah, the living water. They want that. They're sick of dogma. They're sick of churches. They're sick of preachers. They want that unfolding mystery that is themselves to be unfolding as the Lord's handiwork, knowing that he's the one doing it and they're on the path, and they want to witness it all happening, and they want to be born into this eternal life, and they want to see all the things along the way and then give glory and thanks to God as they go. I know the people that listen to this show. But now I'm going to turn to you, Brother Thomas. This is our fourth annual.
Wow, can you believe it?
I cannot believe it. I actually cannot believe how fast time flies and you know, that we're still here even. But, okay,
yeah.
This is our fourth annual May Day show.
May Day.
And it is May Day. It is the 1st of May, which is a big satanic day. It's the, you know, the rites of spring. It's Beltane. It's, you know, the communist revolution. It's parading nukes in the street with lots of red flags. Okay, so basically all that's going on. We have had a communist ethos take over the world since we last talked. People have been locked down with this bird flu thing, weaponized design, swine bird human flu, which comes right off the showroom shelf and ready to go, and peters out because, you know, it was intended to peter out, which is what I thought it would do. But the idea of getting the architecture in place to lock people down, which you were talking about on the last show, we have a confirmation here that this is, if it was a more serious flu, we would see the lockdown exactly the way you described it.
Yeah, and absolutely. This takes me into, this is where the Spirit's taking me right now.
Go ahead.
On approaching these subjects, everything that's going on, because there's so much going on, it's overwhelming, and the alternative media has become a new beast, a new thing unto its own, and the mainstream people have found it, and so they're all getting up to speed on the idea that everything is not just as reported, obviously, on the nightly news. I was wondering what's behind it. What are some of the things that are not being seen? Some of it's obvious, you know, that we can flesh out as far as this being a trial run. That seems to be pretty obvious that's what the structures are being put into place. So the other night, driving home, it's usually when it happens, and when I think of you, when I think of doing a show, doing an interview,
mm-hmm.
I'm just going to go blunt here, and I was told to just go for it. And those who can't hack it, fine. You know, I'm not telling you to believe or follow or anything. I'm just expressing my experiences. But the angelic high command organizes people organizes personalities, organizes seekers together. It brings you to other people, brings people to you. I recognized and was shown early in my association with you, like almost immediately, and then I tested it. I tested it in the spirit, tested it a number of different ways, because like I say, a truth seeker, you never want to take it just immediately at face value. You've got to test it. Most people are too lazy and lethargic. They want to just have a big vision, get some mystic experience, and then boy, it's done, and they're done with it. But it's a dangerous walk because we're getting messages from both sides, and they're coming, simultaneously. A lot of times, they're on the back of each other. Messages from the demonic realm, from the subterranean dark lords. Messages coming from earthly operatives using mind control and voice to skull transmission. All of these things. So we're and especially right now, I've never felt anything quite like it. Where swirling around you, the individual, swirling around the mind, the brain, is just an onslaught of information. And somewhere in there is the spirit, and somewhere is God and the Lord talking to you. And something that is ignored, and a lot of people are afraid of going into this topic, but the angelic, what I'm calling today the angelic high command, the generals, the angel generals on a wing, that are very much involved, because we are in the midst of a battle. We are in the front lines of a raging war every day.
Oh, yes.
And it is not this external thing we're seeing, as you said at the beginning. This is all inner. This is all has to do with what's happening inside your mind and your heart. That's where the battle is raging. And if you're not aware that it is a day-to-day, moment-to-moment, constant battle, I mean, you're in the thick of it. You were born a warrior. Every one of us is a warrior, is a soldier. That's this earthly experience is an experience of war. This life is a battle. It is a war. And through this chaos, through this noise, cacophony, God does not leave you without any type of access to information that is critical. And there is an angelic command structure, and it's organized like military, with generals and lieutenants and messengers, all various ranks. And one thing they do to help you, if you're aware of it, to be able to keep on a track, to get a bead on a certain line of truth, and to keep busting through all the lies, all the propaganda, everything that's thrown at you, is to be able to tap in and hear those voices, hear the right voices. And with you, there's a, how to describe this, let's say we, in our earthly bodies here, and people associated with you, listening to you, and then there's other people, and they have their own groupings. But we're in ranks, we're in a legion, we're in a gathering, and a particular angelic commander will speak to a group of people that he's collected, and we don't have to be in proximity or even see each other face to face. This all happens in the spiritual realm, so time and space don't really apply. We're connected instantaneously through the angelic messenger service that keep us all connected, and this is where we can find a lot of strength and power and solace, knowing that we're part of a particular contingency. And there, the one that has spoken to me my whole life, the particular commander's angelic structure, I recognize speaks to you. That's one of the things that I tested and wanted to know if this was actually true, is that I was receiving simultaneous messages, independent of talking to you, but receiving the same message at the same time. And I've experienced this with other people, other dear brothers and sisters. I've recognized the same type of thing going on.
You have to ask yourself, why do we post similar things? What I might speak in a podcast, you write down, but why is that flow always, and I have to say now the word always, pretty much always the same?
In sync, yeah. And it's subtle stuff. It's very nuanced. It's things that even if you got together and said, hey, this is what I'm where I'm at. What are you? Where are you at? But we never do that. It happens. And
no, you're off, and I haven't talked to you in a couple of months. And someone writes me an email saying, you know, that's just what Brother Thomas was saying.
I get the same thing.
I'm mixing our names up now.
Right. Well, and that's good. That's how it is, because we're one, and we're one with these command structures, these connections, and so. I want people to be aware of
these
that.
Are very the angel you're speaking of is a very powerful warrior angel.
Yes.
And I tell people, look, you don't mess, you know, you can't mess with us, because if you do, this wrath of this of course all subject to the will of Yahweh, but I mean this angelic host, if you will, has command over other angels, and all, you know, he can open a big can of whoop ass. You know, mm-hmm. anytime he wants, even before you get to the point of doing something to one of us, because the odds on us surviving, and I'm going to throw it right back to you. I don't want to interrupt your flow here, but the odds on us surviving are predicated upon the protection that we receive from the, Most High through his, if you like, angelic structure, through his kingdom. And without that protection of the kingdom and the high command of angels, we wouldn't be here, because, you might have noticed that the earth frowns, the world system sort of frowns upon, our way, you know, our, kind of people, if you will. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just had a thought there that, took off. But, when I was pondering this, to get back, as I was driving, and I hadn't heard from them, and I've used that phrase before, it freaks people out, but since a child I've referred to them, and I wondered who are them, because it was very clear in my spiritual eyes that there's leaders of this, and then there's a group of them, like a committee, and just like you'd imagine with a general and his lieutenants and his captains, and they work together, and the general says do this, and then sends off two of his three of his best men or women off to do his bidding, but there's a council there, and I've always received information from a group of them, and then recognized, you know, this leader. This never wanted to delve too deeply as to who or get. As soon as I do that, I sense then that's not for me to know necessarily right now, and that's where you can get off track. That's where people like Carlos Santana say, yeah, I'm hearing from Metatron, or other people say, yeah, I'm hearing from this, you know, Archangel Michael or Gabriel. This is very important to have discrimination and to not get carried away, and I acknowledge that. At the same time, I don't want to block the whole experience out because I'm too fearful of, quote, mm-hmm. hearing voices, or I'm hearing from the fearful Christians who think any type of mystical experience is a bad thing, which I think is absurd. I think the whole religious spiritual experience is mystical. It's a mystery, and
it's a mystery, and that's
wonderful.
Key word there.
It's supernatural, and it has to be supernatural, because we're animals trotting around here on this earthly plane. If it weren't supernatural, we'd be animals. We'd be, you know, run by instinct, but we're not. We're hearing from the spirit. And anyway, I asked them about this flu, because I knew that was going to be a big topic, and obviously, and boy, they gave me the term flash vision, and that's what I got. It was a flash vision. That's where. I'm going to teach some technique here. As people ask me and have asked, people that have heard from the spirit and have had intuitions and felt things, their biggest fear, and it's justified, is how do I know which is which? How do I know which voice is coming from God? What's coming from my own ego? What's coming from the demonic realm? It's too ominous for most people to step into, and I'm not saying that every seeker needs to, but some are called to. Some are called to understand these things and to go a little deeper into the nuances, and it's not necessary, but I'm speaking to those who are maybe led to understand this better. And I received a flash vision while driving, and wrote with my spiritual eyes. I didn't see the road. I mean, from that point, I was locked in and writing with one hand for straight 25 minutes, nonstop, just reciting what I was being told about some of these events that are going on. And they said to describe this this method of flash vision. And by that, what I mean is, in terms of discerning what is what, because a lot of people want to know, what should I do? I've received somewhat panicked emails from people, you know, what happens when the riots start here, or, you know, they start quarantining and I'm stuck down in this locale. How do I know what to do, when to do it? How do I hear? And a flash vision is, it's in between the conscious state and the dream state. It's not all the way into the dream state. It's actually called the hypnagogic state, in rough terms. But you will, and everyone gets this, whether they're aware of it or not. I've gone into it deeply through my whole life, and in meditation, in prayer, in contemplation, in thought, having things just presented right to me, and have analyzed this. I've spent a life analyzing this whole process and trying to understand it, and not to get too deep into it, but just know that you are presented images and messages in this realm that is just behind your conscious thought. There's the surface realm you're hearing, where the propaganda is swirling, where the everything you're hearing day to day through your ears is in your head. It's moving around. That's towards the top of your consciousness. Just below that, a little deeper, there's this little sliver realm, and it's described as the still small voice, because it's a quiet little nook. And below that, you then start getting into the subconscious, and where the demonic entities are already inhabiting. You don't want to go too far past it, because you'll get into that area, and then that's where you become susceptible to self-delusion and to flights of fancy. And that's where most quote mystics and New Age people and channelers, they don't have the self-discipline or the honesty to. And the energy to take the time to really discern the difference between these levels. And I'm speaking to those people who have been led to understand this a little better. So there's this little nook, this little area where you will be shown things. They're there. It's happening all the time. You just don't see it. But it's there for the asking. It's there for the looking. And it's something that can be developed and practiced and tested. And when I first quote came onto the scene, and it all had to do with listening to you at the time. You were the final piece of the puzzle of things I was working on, and I was told as a young boy that at a certain point a bell would go off and it would be my time to quote go public. And I didn't have any illusions that would be a big thing necessarily. The public might be going public to 5, 10, 100 people, of a certain character, that's fine. If it was one, it was enough. It wasn't important the quantity, it was the quality of people to reach to, that I was tasked with reaching, just as you've been tasked, and others are tasked in their own ways. And when the bell went off in 2004, and I was locked on to you, one of the things they said as far as going public was to talk about this process, that it was going to become very, very critical how to discern what information was coming from where. And now, in retrospect, I can see why, because the bad guys have got technology that can invade the brain, that can implant things. So aside from the demonic realm, we've also got a technological realm with flesh and blood operatives that are messing with your mind and your thoughts and your emotions and your body. And so trying to pick your way through the morass of that is critical. And so I was told to start this process of talking about things coming, here coming, things coming in the future, and do it publicly. So that if there's missteps, if there's reappraisals or in figuring the nuance of it, go ahead and do it public, because this process is going to be critical for survival in the years to come, because things are going to become so deceptive, just unbelievably burdensome in terms of knowing what to do and when to do it and who's speaking. And this flash vision concept is something that some people are being called right now to learn to understand, because it will relate to the times that are going to be so intense where you will need to know, for instance, do I accept this vaccine right now? Do I go ahead and do it, or do I put myself and my family at risk against the state by defying it? And I don't say that that answer is one way for everybody. I don't say that, no, absolutely not, you cannot take this vaccine, don't do it. And some are saying that, some, you're hearing that message, don't do it.
Absolutely not. The vaccine is dangerous, and it's been established that they put all kinds of things in there that will later be like little time bombs that will, you know, the eugenicists are out there and they want to, you know, take down the populations and put under control and slavery those who are left.
Absolutely. And this is a preparatory for the chip, for the actual mark. All of this is conditioning to get the, that's where this is all headed.
And they know all about all that, so.
Yeah, but what
like
I'm saying is for some people, and especially people that have families, it's easier to be brave and to take a stand when it's you, or you're alone, and maybe one other. When you've got children and a family and a group of people, loved ones, and they're at your front door saying, you're going to take this, or you're no longer allowed in public. You're going to be quarantined, or you're going to be taken to this camp where you'll be quarantined with others. If you refuse, then what I'm saying is, it may be that you are called to go ahead and take the vaccine, because the danger on the other side is greater. The martial law, the police state tactics that could be used against you could be worse than what the vaccine provides. And God will either, he may be taking you out. So you take the vaccine, that may be it for you, but that may be God's will. And at that point, that may be God's will. Or, absolutely, God can override all of the effects of these things that they're doing, and many people will not be affected whatsoever, no matter what they do to you. Whatever they implant, nothing other than the mark, that's where we draw the line. That's where you draw the line. But up until that point, people I know are stressing over already anticipating, because we're seeing the dress rehearsal. We know where this is going, and it's going to be, you know, mandatory compliance, mandatory volunteerism. And so I'm saying, learning for you, what for you, not following any alternate media figures, but for you, what does God want you to do? And it may not be the same as what he's having done for everyone else. And learning how to know what that is very important right now, and it's worth the time and effort. And if, let me say this, this was told to me last night, if you don't know, like when I say this, I know it creates an anxiety in some people, because they think they're like, I don't know. Sometimes I don't know which voice is which. I just don't. How do I know? And
yeah.
what you're telling me just sounds too complicated, too weird, and there's nothing attracting me to it. I don't even know what to do. So let me just say that if you don't know, if you don't have a clear lock on the voice of God right now in this respect, then that means you're supposed to work on it.
Yeah.
Start figuring it out.
That
put
makes sense.
Put effort into it. You know, it's pretty simple.
There's a lot of people, they won't put the effort in. They go, I don't have that gift, that's it. And then they write it off.
I don't care, and it's not worth the trouble. What are you saying? It's not worth the trouble for you to stress a little, to try to figure these things out, to test it, to hear the word of God, to know when God is speaking you versus you know, some machine in the house next to you with a guy behind the knobs. It's not worth you knowing the difference between that. You throw up your hands when your soul's at stake. No, put some effort into it. And I'm telling you that if you do put effort into it, all God wants to see is that you are, he's important enough to you to make some effort to reach him, to struggle through these issues. And this is where a lot of Christians.
Well, I think the mystical realm, the supernatural realm, scares people, and especially Christians. They seem to be the ones that have the least ability.
And that's the devil's work.
They have almost the more lack of ability than any, say, New Age or anything else that I've met in terms of dealing with the spirit and what the spirit is speaking. They have, in general. Now, this is not usually the people that don't have a problem with this, they go, oh, I must have a problem. No, you don't have a problem. But I'm saying in general terms, the Christian, does not walk in the mystery. Usually they just.
Oh, they've got pat answers.
I can't really describe it except for saying spiritually dead is
absolutely.
That's
and
why.
Yeah. It's been the devil's work through their religions to kill them spiritually and to make them terrified of spirituality.
So if anyone
assume that everything is, quote, occultic or mystical or mystery religion, that's the devil. He doesn't want you to know about these powers and these abilities. He doesn't want you to know that angels are speaking to you.
And doesn't want you to rely on God for protection and provision, hence conform them to the world system, then tell them they've got Jesus, and then they walk in following the world's rules and the world's mystical rules even, and they do that because they're under mind control, and they never do get free because their pastor or their leader must, in a 501c3, be conformed to the world, or he cannot be a pastor. And that's just why we say overall the Christian church in general, across the board, is like that. Dead, that is.
Absolutely. And it's
ineffective.
Threat to so-called Christian seekers. And they've shut off their own power. They've they've shut off their own ability. And why this is so important and why we're talking about it right now is because of what's coming. And where right now we're looking at world events.
If you want the mark of the beast, go to church. That's where they're going to distribute it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Turn your gun in, or if you have a gun, turn those guns in and take the mark, which is just, they will tell you, has nothing to do with the Revelation 13. Of course, they want you to memorize and go by rote the whole Bible so you never internalize it, never get the mystery of it. And then, but in this one instance, they'll tell you to overlook that literalism.
Right.
And if you can't see through that, forget about it. You know, you're just a loser.
Well, and this is so important now because in world events, we're entering a new period where the new world religion, the new mysticism from the dark side is coming. And it's going to simulate what spirit is like, what it's like to hear from God. And that's why I've been writing about synchronicity and the synchronicity machine that they have to create false synchronicities in your life.
Yeah,
this is where
many
go off the rails, many New Agers, many so-called truth seekers, and they have a good heart, but they assume that every synchronicity is good, is meant, is God leading you. And in the highest sense it is, but in the lower sense, no. The dark side has developed means and methods and to replicate, and it's a copy, but to replicate synchronicity in your life so that when a Supreme Rockefeller or one of these characters, these new characters that are coming on the stage, the Urantia book is having a resurgence, which I warned about, which is being tied into this. It's now coming about, and it's tied into, this, for instance, this Rockefeller character who is claiming to be the new Messiah. And, anyway, what I'm saying is people are going to start reading. They're going to hear about, let's say, one of these characters, and then they're going to start getting synchronistic confirmations, things that are mystical, that are supernatural, that say, yeah. And to the unexperienced seeker who's never had a supernatural experience, who's never really, and a lot of Christians have never had a supernatural experience, which is amazing. They're some of the least of all that have had any supernatural experience.
Right, no, they would be the least. If I were going to look for a spiritual, I wouldn't look there because they might have been taught the Bible in a literal sense, but they were robbed of the actual meaning of it.
Power thereof. And they will, what the danger is once they start finally getting a supernatural experience, they are going to immediately assume it's coming from God. And this is how the church are going to be led to follow abominations that will be clearly anti-biblical, but because for the first time in their life, they're experiencing synchronicities. They're seeing 11-11 every time that they, you know, hear a concept that's reaffirming, you know, this track. And this is why this is coming. This is what I'm warning of, is the civil war that's going on externally is one thing, but the one that's going to start going on within people's minds and souls and heart.
Yes?
Hello?
You still there?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Did you hear that?
I understand you guys are listening. Very good. Okay.
That is something that is very, very serious. It's something that people need to put some energy and thought into.
Well, society has a vested interest in the churches because they've had, for example, you know, they've gone after, I don't know, 30, 40,000 pastors now, reminding them, that is the Department of Homeland Security, reminding them that Romans 13 says to obey the government and, you know, reinstilling that just like, well, the Homeland Security are Nazis, just like Adolf Hitler did the exact same thing. So I guess they've been studying history and studying their leader, Adolf, and going ahead and making sure that Romans 13 is put on order, and at the same time they're looking at churches as a good way of gun confiscation and, you know, social control. In other words, you know, being the center place where they can, you know, radiate out control. They're looking at it as a control mechanism, which we've always warned about. And are you still there?
Yeah. Can I say quickly, before we move on to some other things, while just wrapping up this synchronicity and this inner discernment that is going to become critical. Here's an example. So I wrote about synchronicity a week or so ago, seduction of synchronicity, warning that the Spirit, God uses synchronicity. He does, and confirmations. Well, so does the dark side. So I'm just saying, don't take every synchronicity as being a good thing. It may not be. It may be a trick. But to hammer in the point, on the good side, I called a brother, or I texted a brother, talking about synchronicity. He was, at that very moment, listening to an audio of you, and pondering this very same topic. So that's out of the blue. That's an example of the good command structure, the good angelic organization that goes on. On the other side, watching American Idol the other night, because I like music, I like to see what's going on, and the commercial that the Idols did was for Ford. It was called Energy, and they were singing, everything is energy, something to the effect, everything is synchronicity. I haven't heard the word synchronicity used in a commercial maybe ever.
Mm-hmm.
That's an example of like instantly putting an exclamation point. This is how both sides are using things you are working on, thinking about, talking about, and immediately reinforcing it through external synchronistic markers.
And that's what, and churches, temples, mosques do the same thing with, they take something like spirituality, but it's not really your walk in the spirit. And they give you a counterfeit, usually, a counterfeit Islam, a counterfeit Judaism, a counterfeit Christianity, a counterfeit Hinduism. You know, a counterfeit, which is basically a covert attempt at mental slavery, and to get you, like, for example, wowing you with the synchronicity, like you're talking about, and then getting you to then be obedient to them because the experience happened at the temple, at the church.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And people are such newbies, and especially Christians, at any type of supernatural mystical experience, that many will just be fooled. And they haven't even begun to start using the synchronicity machine and some of the other signs and wonders that are going to blow people's minds, the things they're about to see. And
oh, yeah, they'll be totally
obedient.
Yeah. The church will be totally obedient to that because they'll be so wowed by it. They'll say only God could. God could produce that. And then the ones who don't go along will be looked at as, ew, gosh, those are the haters.
Yeah,
we should lock them up and put them away somewhere where they can't bother anybody.
Right.
Yeah, so that's, okay, let me ask you some specific questions now. Okay, the flu.
Yeah. What I wrote.
Okay.
In that state. The flu, it's direct from my notes, flu. Okay, remember, crises are multi-purpose, layered efficiencies of the uber-militarist. Everything that's happening is considered on a war footing, and that's internally and externally. We are at war. America is under attack and has been under attack for quite a while. So everything that's going on has, by the adversaries, has a militaristic application. Mm-hmm. And what I was shown in blunt terms, I've not tried to find any support for this. I don't think you could, because it's meant to be hidden. But here I wrote, the flu is cover for movement of personnel, equipment, technology into pre-positioning for World War III. And that is in Mexico. What I saw was personnel, could be Chinese, Russian, personnel being moved into areas that are have been, the streets are quiet there, everyone's in their houses, while everyone's locked up, quarantined, you know, closed down on information, things are being, literally, equipment and things and personnel are being moved into zones for future invasion of America.
We were hearing that, and, you know, that's going to become more and more to the forefront. Why isn't the Pentagon doing anything about it?
Well, that would go to...
I know the answer, but go ahead.
The end part of my the vision was I believe that Russia, Moscow, the Kremlin, is completely in control of America right now. They, and that's the May Day message. The first May Day show was about seeing their troops in the street with the May Day protest, these shock troops that will eventually be used, and that basically was game over at that point. But they needed to firm up control. They need to take out high-level people that are still patriotic, that are going to still want to put up resistance. But right now, I believe, we are basically under full control of Russia. And I think it's interesting that Russia's never in the news, hardly ever. They didn't go away. That was very deliberate under this cloak. And Soros, George Soros, I think, is one of the kingpins.
I was just thinking about him when you mentioned the situation. I was just thinking about him.
He's got one of his top people right now in the Defense Department. Just got moved in. I don't know the name. So the Pentagon is run by the communists, and quite literally. And that's why, and this is a setup for that, and I believe the flyover in New York was a message. Mm-hmm. I don't think Obama knew. Obama's a Marxist, a Leninist. I've always said, and now everyone says it, but I think he's been groomed, and they love to use people that are narcissistic and megalomaniacal because they're easily manipulated. Mm-hmm. He's been manipulated to think he is a source of power, and I believe that that was a message to him to using the gyroscopic technology that was used to control the planes in 9/11. That was an example of they have the keys to that. They're able to control anything, any
airplane they want. They can commandeer.
Yeah, that was an in your face, because I think that they told him he's just woken up to the fact that he is not the president.
No. He's going to have a dark night of the soul when he realizes, you know, it's not about him and it's about something.
I think that's happening right now.
Yeah, it's got nothing to do with him. But I have to say that, may I just say one little thing, one little ray of hope, positive? Well, the way that he handled the Chrysler issue, and, you know, I'm happy that the workers are going to, I know that they're going to go, I think they're going to be without salary for a while, but basically that there is a, the dealers are not going to close. And the service people and the parts departments are not going to close. So I'm happy that, you know, they weren't just all told to go home.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah. And, call me a socialist. But I just, Wall Street, a few jerks in Wall Street caused all this, and unfortunately, they're the ones who have been given the money to bail everybody out. And they we're going to get to that. Let's go to that.
KGB is who caused it in Wall Street.
Okay, so let's go to the.
Let me finish the flu thing because it's not too long here. What I had written.
All right.
So trial run for future deadly biowar onslaught. Now, when I wrote this, people it hadn't fizzled out yet. People were thinking, and it still hasn't in some sense, but for future deadly biowar onslaught, testing race specifics, age specifics. For example, the young in this case, for instance, to take out fighting age people in the future. Why not take out the old too? You know, why not just kill everybody? Well, again, think military strategy. It's better to cripple the other side with lots of non-lethal casualties because it is a bigger burden on resources, and they can use the terror of the situation on the old to harness their fear and resources to maximum effect to further the bigger offensive. So what I see is a testing of age-specific and race-specific. This is all a trial run, but then after I wrote that, I heard like the next day that this seems to be striking people between the ages of 18 and 40. Well, that's the, you know, classic military age.
It's a precursor. Any idea or any feeling or any thought you may have or any leading about the actual then World War III invasion as to how much time we have?
Well, I think it's after 2010. I don't think it's everything I've gotten a sense of is it's not quite as soon as it feels like it ought to be. It's everything, and that includes the coming of Jesus. It's not going to happen as quickly as many people would like to get this thing on the road. Things are going to get a lot worse, and a lot of the things we're suffering now are nothing.
So there'll be lots and lots of plagues leading up to some invasion.
Yes, and what I saw originally regarding the flu outbreak was something I called the Day of Slaughter. It's horrible. I don't even like talking about it, but it was an image of helicopter gunships going into whole neighborhoods and whole communities and bombing, basically doing a Waco on whole communities out in the countryside, and things are going to be in such chaos at that point that hardly anyone will notice.
No, it won't be reported,
So I'm saying I don't see that we're to that point, so that can't happen.
It'll be our own troops, won't it? American troops will be going in and gunning down innocent people, and they'll think they're doing a good job.
Because people will see it, and people will see it happening and won't believe their eyes, you know, and it will be just burn the house down type. The other note on this flu, it's interesting, is this is a test of information control also, and compartmentalization, how you can have totally opposite messages being simultaneously distributed through the globe regarding a singular global event. And this is important to test right now because as we have future events, they're testing their methods for being able to simultaneously distribute completely conflicting and opposite reports of that.
Yeah.
And as the information control gets tighter and tighter and tighter, that so that no one will know what's going on anywhere. This is a practice run, and if you've noticed, that's what we're getting. We're getting reports from this is things about to go level six to it's no big deal.
Exactly. It's this split in this socialized cognitive dissonance. It's very strange.
That's what I was shown.
It's actually a tactic. Okay.
That's a tactic along with info control, simultaneously conflicting info tract, seeded to follow routes of how info is disseminated for who says what to who and how do they relate it to where, to who.
Mm-hmm.
So they're also tracking Alex Jones, the big alternate media sites, the local,
Alex Jones had a very interesting show in the sense that he was on this, you know, weaponized swine human bird flu thing and getting reports from Mexico directly and phone calls that there are many hacks on his site. And a lot of people hacking And he says they're from the Pentagon, and they are hacking his site to stop him from getting out the information, which is, you know, and he was asking the question as well, why is there this, you know, they're saying on the one hand, it's no big deal. On the other hand, the people who are in the agencies are acting like this is the worst thing that's ever happened. Prepare for mass death. And why is there that discrepancy between the two?
Well, and that's what I'm saying, is this is a very specific military operation. To track, for instance, this is how it goes. Alex Jones says something. Now, who picks it up? And I'm talking down to the level of what emails pick up that information, what blogs pick it up, mm-hmm. where does that information go, tracking it so that they get a handle on where certain bits of information are placed, and then where do they go from there to who, down to the single person sitting in their house, all of that being laid out on a map to note where, and because what they're doing is they're consolidating information control, basically.
Yeah.
And that's why you're getting so many different stories, so many conflicting things, and just confusion. It seems like chaos and confusion. No, it's a military operation designed to track information. Mm-hmm. But who says what, and then who do they say it to, and then who takes that information, and who do they say it to, down to the single individual?
Well, I found that, for example, the musicians on MySpace, I had published a blog about Fort Worth having all the schools closed, and a picture of Mexico City being empty in the streets. And if anyone knows anything about Mexico City, it's teeming with people all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was a weird image to see from Mexico City.
And then,
okay, so that's on my blog on MySpace, where most of the friends I have are musicians. And I found that they were completely, in the main, oblivious to all of this. They missed
right.
the whole thing. They never got any of, they continue promoting their gigs, and they're going,
right.
you know, their new CDs, and they're absolutely, you know, it's like, what are you smoking? I wouldn't mind some of that, you know. Because unfortunately I was getting, you know, that's why I was listening to Alex Jones and Shortwave and this and that and alternative media, and I was trying to, I'm just trying to get a handle on finally what's going on in that way. And I don't usually do that because most people know I've turned off from alternative media mm-hmm. because I don't really need it. You know, but my conclusion in the beginning that, you know, this is a test. This is a designer flu. Did not happen with some little boy in Mexico living next to some pigs. That's a cover story. Because the flu showed up out of season all over the world, including now in Hong Kong, but they say it was from a Mexican traveler. So they're being careful now to say, but someone traveled there from Mexico. And which I don't believe at all. I'm more to the idea that someone stole some vials from Fort Detrick, which was swine flu, and started releasing it around the world. But I think those who stole it were nothing else than our own psyops. And it was generated from the United States. I do not believe it was generated from, China, or like you said, if Russia's in control, all they have to do is have us destroy ourselves. They don't have to actually be the agents doing anything.
Yeah, we're the agents.
It
comes from there.
Because we're a bunch of, so our Pentagon is overrun with traitors.
Absolutely.
Not patriots.
That's something that's going to be, I was shown that.
We're so done.
There are operatives in every level, every station of society that have been placed and are waiting, they're getting their orders now. They're standing by and we're awaiting orders. So no one's going to be able to resist. People have been strategically located through government, through everything, through media, everything is, everybody's at their post and, the orders have been given out, and I believe the flyby was an example of letting them all know what stage of operation they're at. You know, look, we're in firm control here. Look, we can take, you know, Air Force One out for a joyride, and the president can't do anything about it.
No, because
he's out of control.
Yeah, he's powerless. But let's go forward a little more.
Okay.
Nukes.
That comes in the time. There's this strange period of time we're going into now, where it's a mix of everything, but eventually it culminates into every horrific thing you can imagine. That's one thing from the beginning. I've backed off talking about it because we've talked about it already. But things, just so you know, I fully believe this, things are going to get as horrible and apocalyptic and horrific as you could ever imagine, with nuclear warfare, with plagues, with famine, with you know, complete Mad Max lawlessness. I do think that's where it will eventually go. It's not. We got a ways to go, though. So, many people are thinking this is it, but, you know, and they've done that on purpose. They want to wear everybody out. They want everybody to throw in the towel and, for instance, become too lethargic to figure out the more important things, which is what you for your soul. Who's speaking to your soul today? You know, most people are just ready to throw in the towel, give up, being hammered. Mm. Yeah, but that's a ways, I think, to get
Several years ago, I had a vision of everyone in the United States being, you know, wiped out and then replaced by other people.
Yes.
And I mean all the entire population. I've been trying to kind of interpret that for the last few years. Does that mean every last person, or is that but that they were all gone, and you know, the country was then wide open to resettle, almost like a new wilderness, all the buildings getting plowed under and a new beginning. No more cities, in other words. They're all wiped out.
Yeah. What I wrote of it from Qi Haoshan, China, talking about how the Chinese land cannot support 1.3 billion inhabitants.
Yeah, no, I knew that, and then I also understood that they're teaching Chinese in the schools in Detroit, which kind of goes to, okay, Chinese managers coming here speaking Chinese, and then the people having to learn Chinese in order to, you know, bow down to the new rulers. But what I got was just really that the Americans were gone, wiped out, all the cities, you know, and all the populations within all the cities wiped out, and then, you know, new people coming to resettle.
Yeah, I think there will be pockets.
I mean,
survivors, a remnant. But yeah, I could totally see.
Okay, I saw that was a 2004, or even a
summer of visions, or the year of visions. So.
2003, even, it was quite a while back, and now I'm finally beginning to see what that vision was all about. Yeah, because I thought this is too wild, and then now I'm thinking, no, it's actually plausible.
It is. I think we're in for a lot of people want a quick wrap up here, and they want Jesus to come. And,
well, you'll see Jesus after you're dead, so don't worry.
And that could be tomorrow. It's actually a short run we've got here, but many are expecting, you know, within a year or so. But I think we're in it for a while, and things are going to get so incredibly horrific.
It hasn't even begun to get as perverted and backwards as it could.
Still, you'll look back with fondness on this moment, on these days, if you make it that way. And
well,
that's all, you know, it's kind
in
of
terms of fun. Buying the farm, I mean, we shouldn't be afraid. Really, it's all about this, again, all of history and the Bible is about the inner transformational process of the development that God is doing, the handiwork he's doing within us of our spirits to perfect them into a certain thing. And it's really more about that process than the outer process. So when it's your time to die, that's actually showing, you know, you're coming into a completion there. And you don't want to die, you know, hating God or anything, because you'll be in there's another realm of the dead where you don't really want to be, where you can't get anything done and you're kind of stuck there. But you want to keep going with the Lord. And so you die, and really that's the apocalypse. And then there's a new heaven and new earth, meaning you continue to live, with Jesus in the mystery of, the actual mystery is us in God and God in us, but yet us being his creation and yet at the same time being fully spirit. And that is what happens as we go through this realm and into death and beyond. So the death should be welcomed then.
Yeah, it could be misunderstood, but I get exhilarated. I get excited. I see the signs of the coming of the Lord. I'm excited for my own death. If I ever want to pick me up, if I'm feeling down, I ponder my death. At the end of this trial, it would never end it first, you know, on purpose.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to get through this, and whatever the Lord meets out to me is fine. I'm completely submitted and surrendered. I'm excited to.
So there's no crime in dying. You know, you're going to see Jesus. You know, the return of Jesus is, you're going to be with him anyway. So it, the physical return and you being there to see him coming down out of the cloud doesn't, you don't necessarily, you would be there in that event anyway as he comes with all the saints who have, right. are with him. So there's no missing out on anything if you die. No. So it's no big deal if they nuke your city and you die. It's like not a big deal at all.
It's just like anybody that died through the Middle Ages or in Rome or whatever, you
right.
die. It's just how it happens.
Yeah, but you don't die. You continue on. And,
right.
And so there really is, for the right. saint in Christ, there's actually conscious awakening in death and conscious continuation. There isn't, you know, it's not like you're a victim being thrown into a certain thing that you don't want to be in.
At the tail end of this message was given, they said, the good news is if you love Jesus, if you love the truth, if you love God, even though you feel like you're not doing enough at the moment,
right.
confused, making mistakes, no worries, you will be doing just what you ought to be, which likely will not feel comfortable to your limited vision at present, but is actually perfect in the bigger picture. God's plan, scheme of his things. Keep striving to lead a blameless life. Believe in the possibility, even predestination, of your eventual perfection. Trying to think and be and act and feel like him, which you know in your child's believing heart. And you have no worry. On a certain level, you are fundamentally at peace. Indeed, this basic knowledge of your salvation is found in that same zone described before, where the flash visions take place. You'll find that vision in that place. And then I put, here's a final note. Remember my blog, read the power that we have latent in us, that we have one step away, it's just a hair's breadth away, that is actually inherent in us, is so powerful that any one of us could destroy, judge, punish, justify this whole wretched world with one glance and a nod. That is how powerful God is, because we who are but his created children, just in his image, could do this if we weren't held back from it. And we're held back from it to be put through this experience, this trial, to further appreciate who he is.
I do, though, hand people over to him. And
well, sometimes we're called to do that.
You know, and then I tell them, well, what happens to you is your connection to the world system is cut. Your umbilical cord that you've built up all these years is cut, and your own herd will reject you if this happens. And I hate to hand people over, you know, but for justice, but it's something we're called to do. And I'm not called to judge myself, but this is what I notice. I notice that, you know, or if the Lord judges and says, guides me to someone and says, hand them over, and I will hand them over. You know, just like like I'm a bounty hunter. And I do that when called to do it. And what happens is, no, I don't ever see the person again. But what happens is, well, if they repent, it's great, right? Because they know the jig is up. Their cord is cut. They know they're disconnected. If they try to reconnect themselves, then it's hell for them. So they're given a chance though. And I tell them, you believe me, if you want to scare the Luciferian, tell them that you have the power to cut their cord and see what they say.
Yeah.
But when you talk about apocalyptic, I don't think it can get any more huge than that in terms of the power to survive this world. And if there were people I didn't turn over, I wouldn't be here right now. So it just came down to me or them. And the Lord wanted me to be here, so I'm just obedient. But I don't...
The angels do that as well.
Yeah, they can cut the cord. They, you know, you've seen someone who they're really hot and all of a sudden it's like they just, you know, like in the media, and all of a sudden it's like nobody knows them, like they can't get arrested.
Yeah.
Well, their cord was cut.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. I don't have to curse them. I don't have to, you know, I'm actually blessing them, and I pray a blessing that the Lord will open their eyes and take them in, you know, when that happens, because it's so traumatic. You know, imagine that all your life you've sown to this system, you've built up a stature and reputation, you built up powers, and in 1 second, in one split second, all the power, all the reputation, all the gravitas, if you will, is now gone. Just boom, gone. Just like a, your 401k, gone.
Yeah, that's horrifying to them.
You know, and that's all they have to know. And then they will stay far away from you. It's like you have the flu. Please don't cough on me. And they will go out of their way to give you a pass because they don't want to be in your memory.
Absolutely.
Because they don't want to lose their connection. Because that's the almighty thing for them, the connection. And I'm like, the connection? You're going down a sinking ship. What do you do? What do you mean the connection? It's like you're tethered to this. You want that cord cut so you can come to the surface and breathe and live.
Yeah, it's the best thing that could happen to them if they were to.
Yeah, so that's how I look at it. Right. I look at it me doing them a favor, but they don't look at it that way.
Yeah.
They run in fear usually and hide. And I don't blame them. You know, I understand. I just say once again, when you know, the people that are left here behind, you know, not behind, but I mean not in kingdom now, but here, are some very fierce warriors. And they're waking up now to know who they are. And Brother Thomas is helping to wake them up to who they really are. And he just said, a glance from them and the world could be destroyed. So there you... That's absolutely, I want to confirm, brother, 100% that is true. It's not something we talk about here too often because we just can't talk about a lot of things. You know, there's stuff about angels we can't talk about.
Right.
For those of you who've been waiting for me to make a statement, I will never make that statement. What you want to do is fellowship with me in private. And, you know, and when we talk, we can have experiences about these angels and talk about what's going on in the angelic realm. And it's really busy. And I know that it's coming clear. And some of you are waking up to your destiny right now and you're realizing who you really are. And you're going, wow, I'm not this loser. And, you know, I'm encouraging you to go all the way to confidence where you stop beating yourselves up because you're swans and not ducks. You're a beautiful swan, not an ugly duckling.
Yeah, there's some amazing people out there. Likewise, I hear from just blow me away what they're doing.
Yeah, the most amazing are the ones waking up now. I think they're going to really have quite... A lot of them have been resistant to this all their lives.
Yeah, and the time has to be right. And the time... This is an incredible time we're going into right now. And it's an exhilarating time. Mm-hmm. And as terrifying as it is, it's thrilling. It was meant to be an adventure. It's meant to be thrilling. And
Well, you like adventure, I know that. And I've got my holy sacred warrior stick.
Yes.
My fjording stick that you gave me that I cherish. I have another stick that Frank Whalen made for me years and years ago, and it's a very similar. It's like these staff is really kind of something very important. You know,
it is. I've always loved staffs and sticks. I mean, kind of got a fetish, you know, for it, but I love those. They're God's creation. They're beautiful and they're practical. And for $49.99 on my website, you can have one of the KTL limited edition series. I had a collection of these that me and my sons gathered through many fjords, many adventures, fighting in the hills, running around, just questing for the perfect stick. It has to have the right feel the strength, and you test it in battle, and it needs to be multifunctional. And I have a limited edition that we carried from house to house, and I adorn them just a little bit.
Let's give the website out now. That's go ahead.
Yeah, I got the music and writings. BrotherThomas.net.
BrotherThomas.net, and that will take you to everywhere. So BrotherThomas.net.
In the Audio Spirit Ministry thing. Goodness has helped me make that possible. I couldn't have done it. I've wanted to have something like that. It's still in development, but that's kind of the central source for a lot of things and ongoing for as long as it's available. And, and I love hearing from people in the spirit. I hear from you. I love the handwritten letters that come in. I'm a letter writer. I love the spirit that I get from those. Just beautiful.
Yeah, you like me.
Yeah, the mention that's, you.
And, that's the one thing I like. I like are really handwritten letters sent to. Let me give my address out now. If you want to send letters, and I will forward them to Brother Thomas as well, but he also has an address. But let me give you mine first. It's 5 Bisbee Court. That's the Zephyr Port at 5 Bisbee Court, B-I-S-B-E-E Court 109, Box 16, Santa Fe, New Mexico 87508. Cards, letters, anything is fine. And yes, if you send me cookies, I eat them. I remember that, Brother Wayne sent us some cookies and it was like, someone said, don't eat that. And I'm like, no, I'm going to eat them, you know. But anyway, go ahead and give your address out too.
Yeah, what is my address?
It's on the website. Okay, so
yeah,
go to the website.
Got a PO box there.
Okay, so you get to Brother Thomas' blog, Brother Thomas Music, all of that, from the website brotherthomas.net. And, what I'm going to do is, just, you know, encourage you that, you know, there aren't that many of us right now, but maybe in the really, I should say there aren't that many of you right now, because I'm just another you. You're another me. Brother Thomas and I are like exchangeable as well.
Yeah. Yeah. One spirit.
You know, we're all just like, we're just another, he's another me. I'm another him. You know, that's the way it is, but there aren't that many of us now, but the earth is being populated with them now. And it may be the next generation of children coming up who will be, you know, really roiling. I mean, these guys are so pure hearted that, I mean, you look at them the wrong way and boom, you know, I don't even want to go there. Star Wars. Oh, it's going to be even bigger than Star Wars. Please. That's boring compared to what's coming.
Yeah.
It's big. What the battle that's coming is huge.
Yeah.
That reminds me of that song that Trish and I did when one of our first songs we ever did. What was that, Trish? The battle that's coming. I, you know what? I wish I had that song somewhere. I'm gonna have to revive, cause songs are spiritual warfare. You know, we are always doing songs. It's as much part of the ministry as doing these podcasts. But, you know, some people can't relate to the kind of music that I put out and, or that you put out. And that's fine. But I mean, if you do have an ear for it, it's there as another gift for you. And we are out of time. Brother Thomas, any last thoughts, words, anything for the troops out there?
Yeah, one thing, it's in your time of stress, a lot of times at night, the panic sets in when you feel like you're under attack.
Yes.
I was told specifically that the Lord's Prayer is as good as it ever was and is especially powerful right now. And even if you just get through half of it or part of it, repeat it. And that is I think that has been empowered newly to as a barrier and a hedge of protection, and to reconnect you with this still small voice that is critical now to find and learn how to discern, because the voices that are coming and the delusion that is coming,
mm-hmm.
especially in the religious, spiritual, quote, mystical realm, it's going to be mind-blowing. You think your minds are blown by what's happened just in worldly events. Wait till the, you know, the Space Brothers arrive and the world the Messiah and those types of things. It's going to be some heavy rug.
Brother Thomas, I've told people to resist going to the Christian UFO conferences and deliverance conferences and things like that. I've urged them, you know, our people to steer clear. I've told them that you'd be better off going to like a MUFON meeting. You know, where they're just secular UFO people looking at pictures and stuff. A lot better, you'd be much safer there than in a Christian UFO conference. Why do you suppose I've said that? And I've reiterated it several times. I've checked it and double checked. Why? And I know you could you give some thoughts about why I'm saying that to people?
No, I'd like to hear it.
Well, what I'm saying is I've told them to steer clear of the Christian UFO conferences, you know, which they have, I guess, at Roswell in concert with the other one. They have an alternative. And I'm sorry, but there's just, in my spirit, I've just had to warn our people to steer clear because they would be hunted there.
Hmm. Yeah.
I hunted by professional handlers, controllers,
yeah,
professional mind control, and they're there waiting in these alternative Christian sites, alternative Christian chat rooms, alternative Christian this, Christian that. Telltale sign is they hit you with lots of end time prophecies and thus saith the Lord, wah, 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 wah. Mm-hmm. And it's not anything like the way we talk, but I mean, you know what I mean.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely correct. That's a good warning. It's part of this delusion and that's coming upon, especially targeted at believers.
I've had a real break.
Heavy duty.
I've had a break from all that. Like, I used to have people on the show that are connected with that, and I can't talk to them anymore because it's, you know, I've been warned to warn against that to our people. Now, if if the Christian quote unquote goes there, there'll be no problem. They would, you know, they would feel right at home with their people. See, it's weird having to say Christian in those terms. It's this weird kind of disconnect. But I'm trying to explain that it is, again, very, very, very dangerous if you go to those places online, their conferences, their all the things that, especially things like, okay, they're having a prophecy conference where they're going to explain the book of Revelation. They'll say it's for free. Come on in. And I'm telling you, the Satanists will be waiting there. They're looking for people like us. They're looking for our people. Now, I would never show up at anything like that. I go to secular things, you know, like the Whole Life Expo or the New Life Expo or whatever they call it.
You would be safer there, for sure.
Yeah, to get some herbs or something, you know, but I would not go to something that says Christian or End Times Conference in the conference center. Come on down to the End Times, the book. Watch prophecy unfold before your eyes. Come on in for deliverance. Here we have deliverance ministers and prophets lined up to take care of you. Come on forward, all of you who've been abducted, and we will give you deliverance on the spot so that you can get unabducted. Right now, we will deliver you from abduction and, of course, deliver you into slavery. And I'm sorry, but you can't trust those people. You can't trust them, those who've signed on with all those things. They're connected in with Coast to Coast AM, with Steve Quayle, all these people. These are all connected in with... I'm telling you that it's that whole, they don't know they're deluded. They don't know it.
Right.
But I'm sorry I mentioned
it. Extra dangerous because they come across as sincere. And
they're tied in, like I say,
very dangerous.
Coast to coast and the George Noyes tied in with this New Life Conference, the new UFOX Conference, and that's tied in with this End Times Christian, the one I mentioned, and all the satellites going around him and all the alternative media. And what I'm saying is, I'm not going to put them down. I'm hoping that, you know, this all clears up. Well, I don't think it will. But let me just put it this way. We're enemies. We're natural enemies. I'm not a personal enemy of, say, Quayle or anything, but we're natural enemies. We are oil and water. We are completely two different kind, completely opposite. That's all I can say. You know, I mean, you know, and just like when I say, well, but you listen to Alex Jones, I say, I have no thought about that except for me, he's just secular media. You know, he's the same as listening to Jeff Rentz or Coast to Coast or, you know, the guy that's on here in Albuquerque. I mean, it's all the same to me. There's no connection there, but I listen because I'm gathering information. I don't listen anymore. I mean, I listened during the bird flu, scare, and then now that's over. So maybe it's not over, but for me, it's over. And I'm just saying that all these people are getting geared up for Roswell. They're getting geared up for this. And it's like, well, we have MUFON conferences here in New Mexico, and I'm not adverse to going there. Just like when I'm on MySpace, when I'm on MySpace, and which is mainly, I have it only for music. You can't find my podcast there, and I'm not doing, you know, I sort of have that compartmentalized for a reason.
Yeah.
Which I don't need to explain to people, but it's a reason. And when I'm there, I feel very much a lot in common with people, no matter where they're coming from, even people into heavy metal and stuff. I feel more in common with them than I would with someone called Christian, so I don't make friends with Christian artists. You won't find them on my MySpace. I have a few there that are like alternative kind of, but no, Christian artists, no. If their thing says, you know, like on MySpace you have alternative, then slash dub, then slash jazz, let's say is your, you know, your category that you're in. If it says Christian, I tend to kind of move on to the next one. Now, that's just something I've naturally done over the years because I don't feel any connection. I feel there's a danger there. Further to that, when I was on Facebook, I had a bunch of them that wound up being friends on Facebook. And the Lord told me, you're in a lot of danger. You got to get out of there. They're praying against you. Yeah. See, if they see me, they start praying against me just if I'm in the room. Because they feel threatened. Now, why would they that call themselves Christian feel threatened? And why would they want to pray against me? I mean, but literally the Lord says, you're in danger, get out of there.
Yeah.
Okay. The answer is they're not following the same, my God. They're following like something else. And I consider it to be like Brother Thomas said, a mass delusion. So, you know, I mean, there's no danger. Look, nothing's barred. I could go to a Christian UFO conference. Yes, I could go there. They made it clear they didn't want me there to that one in Roswell quite a few years ago. It was like, you know, please don't come here. You know what I mean? Don't even show up as a guest. Don't show up just as a participant. Just don't come here. And believe me, that's the last place I'd want to go.
Yeah.
And I've warned other people, and I use it as a litmus test. I say, well, you've heard my warning about this, and they go, uh-huh. And you're going to go anyway, uh-huh. Okay, let me thank you. Then I can take you off my email list and stop talking to me, please. It's that severe, but why? Because that's what the Lord has told me to do. To just look at them as you would the most heathen Satanist that you could think of. That's that they're gunning for you. Cut that cord.
Yeah, it's serious business. It's literal warfare.
It's literal warfare, but I mean, those are, if you want to know enemies of mine, they would be the, quote, Christians.
Yeah.
In the alternative Christian world are definitely enemies. We are enemy. I just want to go ahead and put it right out there. They are the enemy for me. And I am their enemy, apparently, and I didn't know it because I tried to blend in with them, but there was no blending in. When they see me, they go to straight warfare, and they start gathering people together to pray me out of existence.
Yeah.
So it's mutual, you understand.
Yeah.
And if they do that to you because you wander into a Christian conference, the consequences are devastating. That you can regress all the way back to where you were when you started. You can regress back to a baby. They can do that. They're powerful, these people. Very powerful.
Yeah.
But they're praying in the name of Satan. I just know that. I'm sorry, but I'll say it across the board. And I'm not going to mealy-mouth this thing. I'm not going to... You know, when they say God bless or like, you know, and then they say, where do you go to church? I'm gone. We will not have another conversation. Because it's not so much them. They may be dangerously unaware. It's because the war, it's lives are at stake. That's why. Literally, lives are at stake, literally. So.
Indeed. No, that's,
I trust.
I know that's the message you.
I trust Jesus Christ, period. That's it. I trust Yahweh Elohim, Jah, God, One, the one who made me, my maker. That's who I trust. And if he tells me, get out of there, they'll crucify you. One of them, a famous Christian author, came on the show. He said, I would put the nails in Jesus' hands and feet. And then I heard that at the evangelical churches I went to, they all said they would do that. So the Lord told me through that to never talk to them again and get the hell out of there. Because lambs would never do that to Jesus.
No.
Never. It wouldn't even occur to them. Even, no matter how deluded they got, they would not turn on him.
No.
So. Okay, you've been warned. You know, Brother Thomas has warned you, and I'm warning you that you who are kind of addicted to that whole end times thing online, and you feel, but here's how you know if it's wrong. Do you feel like you're not quite connected to it, like there's a little separation between you and the end times prophets and the blogs you're reading? Whether it's just as bad that I, in the name of Yahweh, and they say the United States will be attacked by Russia and China, thus saith the Lord. You know, they can say the same thing Brother Thomas is saying, but you don't feel a connection with them. There's something you feel at odds with. You better listen to that instinct and hone that instinct a little bit, because that's your survival instinct. The Christian is the most dangerously unaware and one of the most dangerous agents of Satan that has ever been born upon the earth. Just realize that. And there's no more dangerous person out there than the Christian who is serving that side and unknowingly so.
Right, because it's so close to the truth that it's... That's the most dangerous.
You've got to rely on spiritual. Your instincts are going to tell you, and you got to check with the Lord. Is this person okay, Father? Is that person all right? And when they write me and they go, I checked on the Lord. He said, you weren't all right. I go, oh, thank God. We don't have to waste my time with you anymore. Click, and I just check them off the list.
Yeah.
They don't insult me when they say, you're not all right. I go, oh, thank God. Thank you. Thank you, hopefully, future brother. I'll see you later.
Indeed.
Okay, Brother Thomas. That's it, folks. That's the end of the show. I'm gonna wind up. I was wondering what I was gonna do, and I'm gonna just give you a little more of Hear It Coming from the Larson Ice Shelf, and I'm just gonna bookend the show with it, if you don't mind, because I think a good song's worth hearing more than once. And Brother Thomas, stay right there, okay? And we'll just listen to a little bit of this, and I'll fade out, and then we'll be talking to you on the other side on the phone. So hang on.
Okay.
Folks, you've been there. It's really something. And in Jesus' name, I bless you all. And love you, praying for you, and we'll see you next time.
Write us a card, 550 Court, 109, Box 16, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87508.